I'd like now to welcome Marilyn O'Leary. She's interim director of the Utton Transboundary Resources Center. She will be giving a talk called Whiskies for Drinking, Waters for Fighting Over, Think Again. It's on Tuesday, the 21st of January at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation on Helena Street in Santa Fe. It's part of the Amigos Bravos Water Matters lecture series. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What does the Utton Transboundary Resources Center do, and what does the word transboundary mean?
Well, the Utton Transboundary Resources Center was came into being to carry out the work of Al Utton, who was a native of Aztec, New Mexico, went on to become go to school at the University of New Mexico, became a Rhodes Scholar, and then came back to New Mexico to work at the law school and to work on international resource issues, which was a love of his. And he developed that love, I think, from being a New Mexican, but also from his experience abroad. And one of the primary values that Al Utton expressed and carried out in his life was that of preventive diplomacy. And preventive diplomacy means, how can we get together as people, as countries, as states to solve our problems before we actually end up in a huge dispute over them? So that's what the Utton Center is. That's what we try to carry out, is the value of preventive diplomacy, also educating people about water and other resource issues. And transboundary means state versus state, country versus country. It's whenever there is a political boundary that complicates issues related to resource use. And so one of the things that Al Utton did was that he drafted a treaty that was between different countries having to do with the management of groundwater. And although it was basically a generic treaty, he was thinking about the U.S. and Mexico and how we could better manage our water resources together rather than fighting over them.
So let's talk a little bit about the history of water use and water law in New Mexico. One of the things that I think is a really important and interesting distinction is the way water was used and distributed during the acequias system before territory and statehood. Who got to use water? Who decided, especially in a dry year? And how did that change later on?
Well, if you think about the acequias system, the acequias system came to us through Spain. And so when the Spaniards came here, that was the system that they adopted and they used. And it's come down to us. We still have acequias today, and we have community ditches, and those are very similar. And they look to who needs the water. It's a community system. People work together. They clean the ditches together. They share the water. And that was what we started with in New Mexico. And then we went to the system of prior appropriation, which was put into our water code in 1907 in New Mexico. And prior appropriation is different from the acequias system, and we can talk about that too.
So what is prior appropriation?
Prior appropriation, that's our water law system in New Mexico. And what that means is that the people that have claimed the earliest rights to the water have the priority in times of shortage. In New Mexico, the prior users are often the acequias because they were here first, but actually predating the acequias were the Indian water rights, the Indian water users. And so, and then after that we had the irrigators, different irrigators who came in, and then we have the cities. And so if you look at that priority system, the priority system means the people that put the water to use first are the people that get to use it in times of shortage. And so it's not a sharing system, and that's different from the acequias system. However, in New Mexico, we don't seem to like enforcing priorities because it means some people will get all of the water and some people won't get any of the water. And so we are, even though that's how our legal system is and it's set up that way, when it comes down to really doing it, people seem to like to share more then they'd like to actually have one user who's the priority user be able to have all the water and cut everybody else off. And that's actually what the DVD is about that I'm going to be showing on Tuesday night will be about a sharing agreement on the Rio Hamas.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, if you have a system where the law says the prior user, the senior water rights owners, get all the water and people lower on the totem pole don't get any, that's one thing. But if, in fact, we like to share, how is that sharing actually administered if it's not the way the law reads?
Right, that's a good question. Well, on the Rio Hamas, what happened was that there was the agreement was entered into in about 2004, and there was a drought at that time, right before that, and there wasn't enough water for everybody, for all the users on the Hamas to get what they needed. The Hamas is so interesting because it's basically a microcosm of what we have in New Mexico. There are three pueblos on the Hamas River. There are old acequia communities, and then there's the city of, there are other irrigators, and then there's the city of Rio Rancho that also is looking to the Hamas for water. And so there wasn't enough water for everybody to use. What happened was that one of the pueblos went to court to enforce priorities, because they were not getting enough water. And I think it was the Pueblo of Hamas that did this, but I'm not sure. But the pueblos there are Hamas, Zia, and Santa Ana. And so one of the pueblos asserted their claim to their earliest priority date and to the water. Well, that got everybody's attention, and people got together then and talked about what they could do in this situation, because the pueblos, while they were certainly interested in asserting their priority, were also willing to let some of the other users, even though they were later in priority, use some of the water. And so the people got together, they went and looked at each other's ditches, they looked at how much water they had, and there's a place in the that one of the Sakya leaders says, one of the mayordomos says, we had no idea that there was so little water getting to the pueblos, and so that seemed unfair. And of course, the pueblos had the position that they had the prior right anyway. And so what happened was that these communities got together and they agreed on a system of how to share that water, and that was in effect for a long time.
Is it still in effect?
I believe that they still are using that, but it, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's happening now. You know, the drought is even worse than it was at that time, so I'm not sure what they're doing. But I have a feeling that they're still able to cooperate on some water sharing there.
Now, when I think about prior use, I can't help but think about the rivers themselves and the wildlife that use and inhabit them. Do they have any water rights of any kind?
Well, that's a really good question. The water law in New Mexico is based on use, and use is based on diversion. So there's been a law and a policy in New Mexico for a long time that you have to divert water in order to put it to beneficial use, in order to assert your right. But there was an attorney general opinion that came out in the end of the 1990s that stated that there could be a beneficial use for environmental purposes without diverting the water. So even though the law doesn't say that, it's been construed to allow some environmental uses. And so the issue is, can we just let some water stay in the river and not divert it and let it stay for the benefit of wildlife? And so we do that in New Mexico. There are some agreements that allow that to happen in New Mexico.
Is there a process of thinking about not only prior use, but best use of water, particularly when considered from a 21st century perspective and taking it also into account drought?
There is no priority of uses in New Mexico law. Other countries and other places will set priorities of use. We don't do that here because we go back to the earliest date. if you look at the film that I'm going to show on Tuesday night, the governor of the Zia Pueblo at the time talks about their priority of uses. So the first use that they have is for people, for drinking water for people. And that's ultimately the first use. And then they have use for growing crops and for their animals to grow food for their animals, feed for their animals, and those are the uses that they have. They don't have, you know, they don't assert uses for lawns or for washing cars or anything like that. So the answer is we don't have priority of uses in New Mexico, but there are places where people think about it.
I just wonder, because I was looking up last night as I was thinking about our conversation today, how much different kinds of agriculture or land use take up. For example, pecan trees, of which we have a lot in New Mexico, need 60 inches of water per year, and yet we grow them. Golf courses need 48 inches of water per year, yet we've got golf courses in New Mexico. Is there at least some kind of discussion about encouraging water-efficient uses of land and discouraging inefficient uses of land?
Well, there certainly are discussions about encouraging conservation and efficient uses of water for current users. And I know that many golf courses have instituted ways of doing that by reusing water, using gray water, doing things like that. I know that farmers, too, are looking at ways to save water by using drip irrigation, different irrigation methods. So much water is lost through evaporation when we irrigate, and those are the kinds of changes that people are looking at. People are certainly talking about the fact that there are crops that we could grow better here and that we shouldn't be growing here, but we don't set any priorities, and water managers and water policy doesn't set priorities or set any rules for that kind of use. But it's a discussion that I think we need to have and that we must have. As we have less and less water and more people, we have to look at how we want to use our water. We have to think about how we want our state to look. We can efficiently use water by turning the river into a ditch. Do we want to do that? I believe that people are here because they love New Mexico for the most part. And one of the things we love is we love our rivers, and we love the way it looks, and we also love the benefit that we get from our rivers. So one reason I wanted to show this film was to show how people can discuss their needs and how we can agree upon things, and that's what we need to be doing more of in New Mexico.
We're talking to Marilyn O'Leary about her upcoming lecture, Whiskeys for Drinking, Waters for Fighting Over, Think Again. And that sort of funny and provocative title of the talk that you will be giving on Tuesday really brings up the question of how people can get together and not fight about things, but as you say, do preventive diplomacy and have a process which is fundamentally democratic, where people are actually making decisions about the water and land that they're living with.
The quote about whiskeys for drinking, waters for fighting over is something that people like to talk about, and people like to talk about the next wars are going to be water wars, and I believe that media often likes to give attention to that because we react out of fear. Many of us react out of fear because we have to protect ourselves. We're human beings. But I think that we can rise above that, and yes, we have to look at what the threats are from not having enough water. But then we can look at water. Water is a river. You know, we have these rivers that are connectors. We're users up and down the rivers. And the river actually connects us as people. And you're exactly right talking about we can get together democratically and make some decisions. The court will allow people to make decisions that are different from what the law would impose if everybody agrees to those decisions. And I think that we can often make better decisions than what the law would come up with, because the law is backward-looking and not forward-looking. I think the law is a wonderful structure for helping people resolve conflict. And also, even in these water situations, it's a wonderful way, the law is a way to get people together. A lawsuit is filed and gets everybody's attention. Then you have everybody together, and people can start talking about what they think they would like to see happen with the water resource. I'd like to see a lot more of that going on here.
The Hemez River adjudication, the process that you were talking about, one of the things that is so interesting about it is it seems like people were actually concerned about each other's well-being and not just their own power, their own rights, and so on. And I think water, in a way, because it is so fundamental, I mean, it's a life and death resource that we all, I mean, without water, we're dust in the ground. It's something that perhaps brings out our best nature as well as our worst.
And another thing that happened in the Hemez was that the people that were working with each other, trying to work out an agreement, often had known each other for a long time. And I believe both of those things were operating. One, that they knew each other, they saw each other as real people, they saw each other as friends, and they were looking at how to use this water as an opportunity to do that. There's a colleague of mine named Aaron Wolf, who's at the University of Oregon, and his whole thesis, all of his work, is based on the fact that he believes that water can be used to bring people together. He not only believes it, but he studies this, and he talks about international waters, how people have worked to solve some of their problems and to share waters. That's not always the case, but it certainly is the case in some instances. And so it's people's better natures being called upon to solve these problems.
So what, at this point, is the role of ordinary citizens in shaping water policy in New Mexico?
One thing is to believe that we can solve these problems, to look for solutions. There are groups in New Mexico that do this, certainly. The Water Dialogue has been doing this for years. There are collaborative groups that get together on the Rio Grande to try to solve problems related to the silvery minnows. To support those kinds of efforts, I think that's one of the first things to do. And the other thing is, as citizens, talk to our neighbors about what we like to see for the future of New Mexico. What do we want New Mexico to look like? What do we want the river to look like? How do we want to use the river? And then I think pay attention to people that we elect and see how they vote on issues related to water and if we like their decisions or not. So I think all of those things, I think we as citizens have an important role to be sure that water is used well and the way we would like to see it used here.
Marilyn O'Leary is Interim Director of the Utton Transboundary Resources Center. She will be giving a talk titled Whiskeys for Drinking, Waters for Fighting Over, Think Again. It's on Tuesday, the 21st of January at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Foundation on Helena Street in Santa Fe. It's part of the Water Matters Lecture Series sponsored by Amigos Bravos, which is on the web at amigosbravos.org. Marilyn, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
It was a pleasure.